Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Venezuela takes control.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Today's a landmark day in Venezuela's drive to nationalize its industries. The world's biggest oil companies will relinquish control of huge crude oil projects in the Orinoco River Belt. Some believe that's the planet's biggest oil reserve. This is all part of President Hugo Chavez's promised socialist revolution. Reuters correspondent Brian Ellsworth has more.
Oil giants including ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips have been running the projects for as long as 6 years. Today, Chavez will hold a ceremony with oil workers to mark the handover of operations. The companies can stay on as minority partners, but the state will take at least 60% ownership. Oil worker Marco Ojeda says the move will boost Venezuela's control over its vast oil reserves. The ceremony marks the recovery of the Orinoco Belt. Analysts say foreign investors may be scared away by the takeover of the projects. They're worth an estimated $30 billion. Venezuela is the fourth largest exporter of oil to the United States. In Puerto La Cruz, I'm Brian Ellsworth for Marketplace.
Oil prices, by the way, are holding steady just below $68 a barrel this morning. The last day of April was a downer for Wall Street. The Dow dropped 58 points to 13,062, but it did add 6% last month, so not too many complaints on Wall Street. The NASDAQ was down 32 to 2525. The S&P 500 fell 11 to 1482. Stocks fell about 0.5% in Asia, Tokyo specifically. They've also started out lower in Europe. British people love building garden fences, but there's a major shortage of wood in Britain right now, and people are getting pretty upset about it. They're blaming China. Let's bring in our man in London, Stephen Beard. First of all, Stephen, how bad is this shortage?
Pretty bad. We're hearing of six-month waiting lists for your ordinary garden fence. It's got so bad that apparently there have been fistfights at garden centres as customers have vied over dwindling supplies of timber for their garden fencing.
Jeez. What does China have to do with this?
Well, China, according to the UN, is now the number one importer of soft and hardwood logs. China's appetite for many commodities, not only wood, is pretty staggering. But in the words of the head of the Scottish Timber Federation, China is consuming mind-boggling amounts of timber at the moment.
Anybody got a solution to this problem?
No, not really, other than using sort of artificial products.
Well, I know, Stephen, you live out in the countryside, and you've talked about building a garden fence recently. I hope you're not going to get in any fights down at the building store.
No, we're just going to not build a fence. I mean, we've had a succession of workmen coming out here to give us estimates, and their estimate for the costs have absolutely soared in recent weeks. I mean, some are now claiming that a wooden fence is going to cost 50% more than it did a year ago.
Wow.
So I reckon we'll just have to do without that fence.
All right, Stephen, thanks a lot.
We'll sit on the fence.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
So what you up to right now? How about now? Now. Okay, that's annoying, isn't it? But there's a new website that asks that question over and over again. It's called Twitter. The software lets your friends know exactly what you're doing via the web or IM or a text message. Sounds kind of painful, but Twitter's membership tripled last month. Even presidential hopeful John Edwards is a Twittering. So we sent reporter Hannah Jaffe-Walt to give Twitter.com a try.
I figured I had to tweet to talk about Twitter. Yes, that's a new verb, to tweet. So I set out to do a 24-hour experiment. I thought I'd grab some friends and we'd try Twitter together. But I ran into one problem right away.
Why in the world would I want the world to know what I'm doing at that granularity?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't interest me too much.
Send it out to everyone's phones? This is sounding more and more irritating.
But I have some good friends, and despite their reservations, they agreed to be tweets for me. So all day long, just got to work, sipping coffee, unpacking groceries into fridge and putting clothes into dryer, thinking about eating bratwurst. Now, I love my friends, but do I care? Charlene Lee, a marketing analyst with Forrester Research, says, remember when blogs came on the scene? We all said the same things. What kind of narcissistic twits would use this?
It's a very similar reaction that people have. It's not the way...
Oh, sorry, Charlene. Lucas is thinking about lunch. Sorry, what were you saying?
It's not the way they normally communicate. It's highly interruptive. It's changing the way that they think that they should be managing the time and the relationships that they have with people.
But Lee thinks we'll adapt to this new mode of communication, just like we did with blogs and with MySpace. She says social networking is part of the business plan of every new web company, and it's already a multi-billion dollar business. As for my friends...
So are you going to keep Twittering? When I first signed up for it, I thought as soon as this was over, I would delete my account. And I don't think I'm ready to delete my account.
Even after the experiment ended, the Twitters were still coming.
Meeting at the bar. Ooh. Almost done at work. Just have one last thing.
In Seattle, I'm Hannah Jaffe Walt for Marketplace.
All right, I'm signing off and going to get a cup of coffee, okay, folks? In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.